Nation Science Hour. This is Kent Hogan speaking to you live here from Pensacola, Florida on Tuesday, January 9th, 2004. We're live. And we play this program later someday, but then you're welcome to call in on the program and join us here at drdino.com, drdino.com. And you can get straight into the program through our link on there called Creation Science Hour. Creation Science Hour at drdino.com. Our position is, for those just joining us, that the Bible, we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. We believe the earth was created in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago, just like God told us in His Word. And we think the evolution theory that's currently being taught in our schools is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of the world. And I want to state the position pretty clearly. You think you came from Iraq 4.6 billion years ago? Okay, well, we don't care what you believe. We just don't want to pay to have that taught at taxpayer expense in the public school system. So, go start your own Christian, go start your own non-Christian school and teach evolution. Anybody wants to learn at your expense, we don't care what you do with your money. We do care, though, what you do with our money. That's our position. So, if you'd like to call anybody on the program, you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or toll free, and we'll pay for the call, 877-479-DINO. 877-479-3466. And if this ministry has been a blessing to you, you can go to our website if you want to help. We have several projects we're working on. You can go to the, what's it called, Jonathan, the Donate Now, or
that right on the front page of drdino.com is a link that says support DAL and CSE, which is Dinosaur Adventure Land and Creation Science Evangelism.
Yeah, if you want to support us, come do. We don't, beg for it. If God doesn't supply, we don't do it. You know, but so far we have spent everything, Vincent. We have, I think, a little over 35 people on staff, and we are having a good time here trying to stir up trouble for the devil. Well, I'm going to read a few testimonies that have been sent to us, and then I've got a whole stack of radio questions that have been sent to us. If you want yours on top of the pile, the way to do that is to call in live. We take those first. Second, we take AOL Instant Message. We put those on top of the pile after phone calls, and that would be Dr. Dino Live, DRDINOLIV, correct. Okay? I'm going to read a few testimonies that sent to us here. Here's one from Catherine, with a Y, Catherine Barber. Boy, thank you for what you do. I don't have all that much faith. I didn't have all that much faith in God and was believing in evolution more than creation. You helped me realize the right one to believe in, creation. I watched one of your seminars on DVD and was very impressed with you and your facts. I would like to thank you again for what you do, Catherine Barber. I would give my phone number, but I'm an American living in Japan. Well, Catherine, I'm glad you enjoyed our material and glad it was a help to strengthen your faith in the Word of God. Now, Catherine, your job is to find somebody else who needs that and give it to them. My material is not copyrighted, never has been. I ask that you not copy it for profit, but if you want to copy it and give it away, go for it. Okay, here's one with a frowny face. Oh, that means read that. Said the guy is, somebody, a frowny face. Stephen Butterfield from the United Kingdom writes it. Dear Mr. Hogan, I just had the pleasure to listen to your radio debate April 2003, I believe, with a certain Mr. Massimo Pigliucci. I'm sure, Mr. Hogan, that you are a learned individual in addition to being a man with an unshakable inner faith that God exists. That's your privilege, of course. I found your use of Reverend William Paley's argument for design continuously as an absolute audio pleasure and a trump card to any evidence presented to support evolution. God made it that way. That's quite an argument, Mr. Hogan. I'm sure the intellectually irresponsible or irrational, dangerous ignoramuses amongst the audience would have found that utterly convincing. Wow. Now then, this guy thinks he's the only smart person in the world. Anybody who believes that God made it must be intellectually irresponsible, irrational, dangerous ignoramuses amongst the audience. Wow. Well, Stephen, we ain't have a talk here, buddy. Okay. He says, Stephen says, I endeavor to seek other audio debates that include your good self, not for educational purposes, of course, but for the comedy routines. Good luck to you, Mr. Hogan, and hopefully you can put in another star performance on the Ollie G Show sometime. Yours thankfully, Stephen Butterfield, England. Well, Stephen, what you've done is what nearly all skeptics do. They give what's called a generic charge. They don't give any specifics.
You mentioned that Massimo Pigliucci, right?
Yeah, I debated him twice. I'll do it again.
Just recently, Massimo Pigliucci was offered $10,000 to show that
Tennessee, Knoxville. I will debate him any time with half my brain tied behind my back. He is a very outspoken anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Destroys the faith of many students coming through his school, through his class. And I have debated him twice. Would love to do it again any time, anywhere. So, Massimo or Dr. Biggiucci, call in and let's book a time. That's where I'll fly back at my expense. And I will debate you in front of your university, on your turf. I'll pay you $200 if you'll debate me, and $250,000 if you can prove evolution.
Now, the listeners out there can get that debate from drbanner.com. It is part of the debate series.
Is that debate number 12? Do you remember which one it is?
I think it's does botany support creation or evolution?
Yeah, he's a botany professor. So I debate them on their turf. You know, he's botanist, but talking about botany.
Now, actually, he's received
$650,000.
$650,000 to study, you know, the evolution of a plant.
Right. Yep.
And whenever you ask him what his best evidence for evolution was, what did he say?
The evolution of whales.
The evolution of whales. What kind of plant is that?
What kind of plant is a whale?
$650,000.
This is difficult, though. Every evolutionist thinks that the evidence for their theory is in somebody else's field.
It's a show game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's no beyond any of them. There is no evidence for evolution. All of you guys, give it up. You've been lied to, okay? You've been brainwashed. You've been really duped. If you think you need from Iraq, you need very serious help, and that's why we're here, Jonathan. We can help.
Yeah. If they really want it, if they're really seeking, you know, truth, then yes, we can help.
Most aren't, though, are they?
No, they try to play a stump the pastor, you know, they just try and ask all these real, you know, hardball questions, and when you can't answer one of them, or you say, well, you know, give me a couple seconds, and they throw up their hands in victory and claim, you know, that they just destroyed the Christians. And
right.
But a lot of them, though, they're not seeking help. They're just wanting to start some, you know, arguments.
Yes, sir. Okay, here's an AOList message. Mike Maxwell, Menominee Falls of Wisconsin. Gosh, or that's across the river when you talk like that. My parents are both from La Crosse, Wisconsin, right? That's been up there bunches of times. Okay, he says, in Milwaukee, our Christian TV channel is running a series by Ken Ham. He is from Australia, but now lives in America and has a new creation series, creation study center that is opening soon in Ohio. Well, my camera was opening soon, and it looks like projected date is 2009. I'm for it, man. I've given money to it. I really want to help. I think what they're doing is great, but it's a long ways from opening, many, many years from opening. So, anyway, he has said, Ken Ham very well. He says, are you familiar with him and his work? And from your knowledge, is it God honoring? Yes, he does excellent work. It is. I would highly recommend it. He does not recommend my ministry. They're a little bit bipolar, normal mentality. But yes, they have good stuff. I would agree with him on just about everything related to Bible doctrine. I would differ on several things, but I wouldn't fight him for a minute. I just I couldn't join him. You know, I would differ with him on some critical issues that. Now, again, I don't know if they're fighting over, but they make it worth mentioning. I believe that God preserved his word in the book of Genesis and the whole Bible. And, you know, the King James, he does not believe that. They say they defend Genesis, but I say, which Genesis? You know, where is it? Show it to me. I'll see it. Of course, they don't have one. Anyway, so stuff like that. I think we could talk all day about differences. And I did a little bit on the program several weeks ago, which is on videotape. Actually, we videotaped our video program. It's pretty cool. Sitting here with my son and Jonathan, we talked about, discussed the anti-Hoban website, since there's some stuff on Ken Ham's website about me that is slightly negative. We decided to go and include that on tape number 8, the last one. Now, it should be available. I got that for my son. I think it's available. He sends it there tomorrow. But
it'll be next week, definitely.
Okay. It's his daughter's birthday tonight. We're having a party in there. 1-year-old. These grandkids are great.
She's already won her first beauty pageant, too. She's going to Orlando here pretty soon.
That's the coolest, most beautiful baby. What was that, a couple months ago? And then she goes for the national competition in Orlando in April, I think. Good looking kid. Become your grandparents. Of course, right? Okay. Now, here we go. I might finish Mike's question here. Mike, I didn't mean to cut you off in the middle. I'll step on your tongue. I guess is the way they say that when you cut somebody off. I didn't mean to step on your tongue. Hey, so Mike says, we would prefer to visit your family. For us, it's a financial consideration based on available funds. Keep up the good work you're doing. You and your staff are in our prayers. Mike Maxwell in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Well, Mike, thank you so much for writing and listening. Yes, the financial consideration, I understand that. The Bible teaches the lack of money is the root of all problems. That's something close to that. Anyway, they understand. So, but if you do get time and energy, come on down to Pensacola. We're at the tip of the panhandle from Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. I would guess we are about But from Peoria, Illinois, which is my hometown, East Peoria, actually, you can drive there. It's about 900 miles. So you're probably about 1,100 miles. Depending on how you drive, you should be here in about 5 hours. Okay, you can drive real fast. Get a plane is a little faster. But here's another one. Hello, my name is Anders Hendrickson, and I'm from Sweden. I recently bought the comic style magazine, The Prophet. Is there any proof that the papacy really started Islam? And what are the evidences that Allah is the moon god? Thank you, and God bless you and your ministry in Christ, Anders. Well, Anders, thank you for listening. You are up late, or else really, really, really early over there in Sweden. I would love to come someday. I've got 20 invitations to come to Norway in my file. I'm trying to work out a time to go over there to Norway. Talked to a guy yesterday. A Norwegian TV station is playing my tapes over there. We're getting calls from all over Scandinavia and Europe from people wanting our videos and DVDs and stuff over there. One guy called my daughter and said, hey, could you send us a tape where it goes slower? He talks so fast and my English is not so good. believe me, my Swedish and Norwegian is real poor. So, Donovan, you speak Portuguese, but no Swedish, right?
No, I don't think they're very similar to each other either. Maybe I'm trying to think about what I want to learn next. So
Spanish would be easy since you speak Portuguese. Spanish.
Well, I can read Spanish, but I'm thinking Russian because we have so many Russians around here.
Yeah,
we're already in difficult language. So. I've been Russian around for years.
Daughter-in-law is Russian. And you hear it, probably your boss is saying, you know, when he's talking.
Yeah,
my sister, yeah. Okay. And Russian would be good. It'd be starting from zero, though. I mean, you know, alphabet.
Now, I did see a book over Barnes & Noble that says it's called Learn Russian in 10 Minutes.
Hey, I've got audio tapes right here. How to learn Russian on audio. If you want to, on your way to work, as you drive to work, was it about half a block? There it is, right here. Come, there it is. One, right there. Red cover. How to learn Russian in 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes. See, Americans are intelligent because we can teach a whole language in 20 minutes.
That's 20 minutes. Per hour for the next person.
Oh, okay. That's where the
yeah, what it is. Okay. Anyway, Anders, answer your question about the papacy, the Catholic Church actually starting the religion of Islam. Yes, sir, that's been pretty thoroughly documented quite a few places. There was a former Catholic nun that was conscripted, I guess, to come out of the monastery and marry Muhammad and train him to be the leader, to get the Arabs to take over the Holy Land. That was the goal, anyway, was to use the Arabs as cannon fodder to go in and take over the Holy Land for the Pope. That didn't work. And so that's all. You go to chick.com, C-H-I-C-K. There's quite a bit of information about Islam. We have the book, Who Is This Allah, don't we?
We have the book, Who Is This Allah. We also have the comic book that he's talking about.
Yeah, the Prophet. They want to get that.
The Prophet's actually, the entire comic book is available on chick.com. If they want to instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, I can send them the link and they can read the entire comic book online.
So, chick.com and then go to that. Okay. Anyway, Anders, yes, it's sad, but there are many religions that were started for financial or political gain. And now there's whole masses of people that are duped and, you know, it's really, really sad that so many people could be deceived, you know, like that. Of course, Satan is laughing at the whole thing because it's working to his benefit. All right, here's one from Anonymous. Hey, Dr. Oberman, I'm a 26-year-old ex-drug head and now a saved Christian. Although I was brought up in the church, I fought God for years. Shortly after coming to Christ, a friend showed me your tapes, and they helped seal my fate. My fiancé is a science-minded person and always... And although a Christian, he had his doubts. Since seeing your tapes, he couldn't get enough. He is using them to save lives. He takes them to work and shares them with his employees and friends that would otherwise never have a chance to know Christ. Our whole group of friends, ex-drug heads as well, have watched the tapes and is causing a revival in our group. I just wanted to know the miracle you are having to create, you're helping to create, and how you are truly changing lives of lost souls. I pray that you and your work, for you and your work every night. Now I ask you to pray for us. Help us to make this change in our friends last their entire lives. He and I plan on going into youth ministry. He dreams of one day meeting me to talk to you. I have nowhere near the brain he is, and I think you would find it enjoyable if you're ever in our area. Please give us a call. Thanks for your prayers. God bless you, Anonymous. Well, hey man, thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed our stuff, and working off the drugs is really tough and very important. I mean, I think it would showed it to him, he said they explained that away in the sentences below that in the catechism. You know what I'm talking about?
I can understand. I have the catechism. Let's see, it's over there, Jonathan. We're in the library here. There were two Bibles. Yes, we moved it with the, all the Bibles. Not a good place for the catechism. I don't see it right now, but page 116 of the 94 edition, the Catholic Catechism, is where it says, you know, ye shall be, you know, that we can become God.
Right.
It clearly says that. Of course, they would not explain that away. I think you'd find if you read through the Catholic Catechism, you could prove anything. You'll find places where they talk, you know, on one side of their mouth on one page and the other side of the mouth on the other page. You can have, so that way they can point to any doctrine and say, oh, yeah, we believe this. And then somebody else comes along and says, oh, yeah, we believe the opposite, you know, because they find a different section of the catechism. It's a confusing labyrinth of writings. I don't see it. Maybe somebody checked it out, John. There's our library. I'll be checking their files all the time, but they don't see it at this minute. But, well, yeah, I should reference it on my video tape number one. Now, I don't think that most Catholics even know that some of their leaders teach that.
Right, I don't know it.
Yeah, he's got his hands up at page 116 down at the top and read the paragraphs after that because I want to take things in context. This is a writing, a bunch of writings by a whole bunch of different authors, okay? I'm in section, it's got a footnote number 79 referring to St. Irenaeus, A.D.V., Harris, and I've got a whole bunch of references here. You can look that up yourself. He says, for the Son of God became man so that we might become God. Capital G.
Right.
The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he made man might make men gods. I think they say it twice in here. God wanted to share his divinity with us. I absolutely disagree.
Right.
He is God. We are his creation. How could we be God? Now, we're the sons of God. You know, we're made in his image. We don't share his divinity. We're not going to become God when we get to heaven. So, I would stand my ground and say, this is what the book says. I mean, you can see it for yourself by this day. They may try to explain it away, but they use the capital G, you know, that we're going to become God.
No, that's basically what the devil told Adam and Eve, didn't he?
At 40 in the Garden of Eden. Eat up this tree, and ye shall be as gods, yep. Knowing good and evil. It's always a promise of more knowledge. That's what the Masons promise, you know, you join our group and you'll know secret things, you know, and secret handshakes and secret way to stand and all this kind of stuff. It's always a promise of more secret knowledge that draws people into these cults.
Right.
And I'm not an anti-Catholic. I'm anti-error, and I'm for truth. But because I've studied this very carefully, I would say the Catholic Church is without a doubt a cult, not a Christian church. I think there are many, many millions of very sincere people. But sincerity means nothing. Truth is what matters. There are sincere people that tie bombs to themselves and go blow up, you know, buses in Israel, too. There are people who, you know, drive airplanes into buildings because they're very sincere. Sincerity does not equate with truth, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Another question. So, since they believe that we become a god, does that mean that those saints that they're praying to have become God?
Don't know about that one. I'm not sure what the catechism teaches on that.
Okay. Well, it seems like it'd be, you know, hand in hand. You know, that's another thing that, you know, we homeschool.
They also capitalize on a great money-making idea. You know, you make somebody the saint of the housewife or the saint of the taxi driver or whatever, and of course they're going to come in and drop 20 bucks in the offering plate and, you know, light a candle for their saint. It's a moneymaker for the church is what it is.
Okay. And I tried to get access to that chick.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bad page or something. You know, I did it last night, too.
So. Are you on there, Jonathan? Chick.com?
Yeah, I actually have the phone book up right now.
I don't know why I couldn't get
it. See, you can contact us over Day Wellness and Messenger. I don't know if you have that. I can give you the link directly to it.
Okay. Yeah, Jack checks it. good personal friend of mine in Southern California. Took him to dinner a couple of months ago. Or so. Great guy, 77 years old. Has an enormous amount of good for the cause of Christ. He has written and printed millions and millions and millions of gospel tracts that are going to see. He's probably going to be responsible for more people being in heaven than any other single person on earth. That's saying a lot.
Can I give a little plug for your ministry?
Sure.
For somebody that can contribute, they service, have a service with this company.
Okay.
I use Lifeline and whatever, they give 10% or whatever I use, and it goes directly to your ministry. So for those who are listening, if you can get on Lifeline and don't have them donate to your ministry, that would be great.
Yeah, Creation Science Evangelism.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do that.
And one more thing to the listeners, you're a super guy. I went down there and listened to you at Pensacola and had lunch with you, and I thought that was great, and you were a super guy, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
All right. I appreciate you.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, sir. If you want to call and be on the program, we welcome your call. Here we have an AOL instant message. We're not even getting to the radio questions, my secretary. Rita that does this and prepares a folder every day saying, please answer these. We've got to get them answered. Hurry, Rita. This is right here. Okay. Let's see. AOL is a message from Larry Hughes from Sweetwater, Tennessee. Did Satan fall during the creation week? Trees are made on day three. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was in the garden before Adam was placed there. God said they have become as one of us, knowing good and evil. God was speaking to his angels. It seems that angels knew evil during creation. Evil existed, and God still said his creation was good. Larry, I disagree. I think we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, the end of the chapter, that God looked at everything and said it was very good. I don't think you could call, evil good and good evil. The Bible says, woe unto those that do that. So God said it was very good at the end of day 6. We know Satan was in the Garden of Eden until iniquity was found in him. That's found in Genesis, Ezekiel 28. Lucifer was in Eden until iniquity was found in him. And we know Adam was 130 when Seth was born. That's about the only clues we've got. We put two and two together, and Satan must have fallen somewhere after day 7 and before, maybe 100 years later. That's about the best I can look on that, because Cain and Abel were born before Adam and Eve, but no dates are given at all. And so we're not getting to put together. Okay, we're taking the radio questions. If you want to get yours in the file, AOL Instant Messages, Dr. Nando Live, DrDinoLive, or DrNando.com is our website. And you can get information to us that way. Here's one from Kenneth and Melissa. Our program, I want to say, first of all, I love your ministry, and God is doing such wonderful work through you and your ministry. I absolutely love your videos and your museum. I'm writing from Fort Walton Beach. That's only 40 miles from here. I was just wondering about the part of the video that talks about Noah and the animals. You explained that he did not have to bring insects since they don't breathe through nostrils. But Genesis 7:21 says, all flesh die that moveth upon the face of the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Would this include insects and fish? Thanks for your time. God bless, Kenneth Spencer. Kenneth, good question. I mentioned in the seminar that God told Noah to bring unto the ark all those in whose nostrils was the breath of life. And since insects breathe through their skin, they simply absorb oxygen. They were not required to be on the ark. They may have been, I don't know, but they weren't required to be, I don't think. Now, as far as those outside that died, I think you have a hard time proving from Scripture that insects are alive, believe it or not. I think they may be like plants, which are a complex, self-replicating food source, but not alive in the biblical sense, since they don't have blood and they don't have the breath of life in their nostrils. Just a theory, something to consider. I don't know that I have a positive answer to that one, but that's so far the best I think this meets the scriptural criteria that are necessary. So I don't know if insects are even considered alive. Now, fish may be another one. Do they have the breath of life? Or are they a food source, a complex self-replicating one? But, complexity, like my computer's real complex, but not alive. And yet we say it dies. Computer died. My car died. Neither of those are alive, and they can die. So. Okay, here's one from Jolene Stotler, S-T-O-T-L-E-R. Jolene writes it. I've watched some of your videos on creation and am relieved that there is finally someone out there who can show my kids that evolution is wrong. My 8-year-old wants to know where the ice age fits in. I know it probably does, but not how we really think it does. close to him. He loves science of any kind. But I would want him to know the right guy in Christ. Jolene, thank you for writing. I accompany Ice Age question on videotape number 6 of my series called The Hoagland Theory. And Jonathan, the ones online are they're watchable, but they're grainy, and we got the new ones going in soon.
Yes, all the videos that we've been working on for the past 3 weeks will be online next week.
Okay, so there you go. So, and it's going to be marked for what kind of line they have,
Yeah, the ones we have up right now are 56K, which is dial-up that you get online through your telephone, predominantly. The next ones will be, the new ones that were putting up at 300K. So, dial-up people will have to download them, and people with broadband can actually see them. So.
Okay, good. Okay, William Holland writes in. William Holland was just in Holland a few months ago. Beautiful place over there. It was close to sea level. Man, it's real close to sea level. One good way that those folks are in trouble. William Holland writes in, first of all, I would like to say that I love the ministry. It's been a great help to myself and to others. I do have a few questions. First, the sun was greater on day 4, so there doesn't appear to be any real way of telling how long a day was before day 4. I know God separated the day from the night and called each a day, but of course this was the first day. Before the sun was created, do you think the days were the same length as day 4 and why?
Yes, sir.
William, I do think the days were the same length because later, numerous times through Scripture, it refers to God rested on the seventh day after creating for 6 days. There's no reason to think it was not a normal 24-hour day. The fact that there's no sun means nothing. You know, one spin of the earth is a day, spinning in relation to anything. But our day starts at midnight. It sounds not even up. But yeah, I cover that on seminar part 7 of our series. You can watch that right online. Currently a little grainy, 56K, coming up soon, 300K. You can stream it on your computer if you have a present, Jonathan. A better phone line, or how do they do that?
They just get a broadband connection, DSL, or cable, or something like that.
Sounds good. And then you'll watch it better. If you really want to get the good quality, order the DVD.
Order the DVD. It's a little better quality than the ones on the internet.
Yes, okay. DVDs or VHS, either one. Last year, we just got the total. We sent out 110,000 videos and DVDs.
You take that 110,000, and we also get many testimonies of people who said they have made hundreds and hundreds of copies of these things. So just think how many people last year were touched by this ministry in some way.
It's humbling to think, what God has done. Because when I started this 15 years ago, right in my house, my house is next door, but the building too.
They built a lot around the house.
Yeah. I just said, Lord, use us for something, and boy, it's been neat. And we appreciate that, all the staff that God's brought our way. And I appreciate all the work you do, John. Not enough for a raise yet, but still, we appreciate it, okay? Okay, so, William's second question. Secondly, in your tapes, you mentioned dragons. Understandably, these are dinosaurs. You also talk about fire breathing. This also appears in Scripture. My question for you is that in several other Scriptures, a leviathan appears to be a sea dweller that breathes fire? Isaiah 27 says it's a sea dragon. Do you agree with this? Yes, I do. Okay. And also, is there any physical evidence you have found for the evidence of flying, fire-breathing dragons? Let me stop right there and say, Bill, William, yes, and the Scripture certainly teaches about a fire-breathing flying creature. Isaiah, I'm going to pick a number here and guess, 40, I'm not sure. I mentioned 27, maybe it's 27. About Isaiah 27, a fire-breathing dragon that is able to fly. There certainly are many, many, maybe even hundreds of legends in history of different cultures about somebody becoming famous because they killed a fire-breathing flying dragon. Do I have an answer to it? Absolutely not. I don't have a clue. Maybe a couple of clues, but no proof whatsoever.
Well, that's probably where that whole thing came from. I'm sure if, one day back a few thousand years ago it was really, common to see fire-breathing dragons, as they would get more scarce throughout history, people would continue to tell that, well, you should have been alive 100 years ago when, this dragon was tormenting the city over here. Eventually, someone's going to say, whatever, there's flying dragons blowing fire. That just sounds obnoxious.
Well, I cover everything I know about that on videotape in the green series of tapes, the topical series. It's called Leviathan, the Fire-Breathing Dragon. This one of our tapes is just under topical.
Yeah, they can just go right to videos on the front of the page, drdrdrdr.com. So,
for videos, that's on DVD or video. Okay, let me finish Michael's question here, or William's question. I grew up believing in dragons almost to a point of idolatry before I was saved. studying, trying to find evidence that once existed, Peter Dickinson wrote a book with this theory, called The Flight of Dragons. He makes some points such as physical requirements for flight as well as the theory of fire breathing. It was more of a New Age book, though. Hope you'll be responding to these questions. It's understandable that you're busy. Thanks for the time. Oh, well, Bill, thank you, sir. I wish I knew more. I mean, I have read hundreds and hundreds of stories about fire-breathing dragons and dragons in general in different books I have. I think I can touch it from where I'm sitting in the library. A whole section of books about that subject, actually. There are a lot of people who have written about, you know, either from a mythological perspective or from a they-believe-in perspective. I'm willing to read anything. And there certainly is enormous amount of information out there. I don't see it right now. About dragons. Oh, I got here. Look at this. Dragons. Carl Schuker, famous scientist in England. Excellent book, by the way. Whole section about the legends of dragons, the world of dragons. A bunch of pictures in there, not photographs, but, you know, drawings of the descriptions that the people give. And it was right there somewhere. Okay. So, I hope that helps, William. Feel free to contact us if that is not sufficient. All right. You can call if you want to be on the program, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, or 850-479-DINO if you want to pay for the call. Okay, here we go. Hereafter Basis writes in, could Dr. Owen explain the two different versions of the Quran? He told my friend John that one was watered down and one wasn't. What reference can he give to that to back that up? Okay, Hereafter Basis, where did I get that information that they have a special Quran, a watered-down version for the people who find verses in the Quran that say you should kill anybody who won't convert to Islam, and the Quran does teach that, by the way. Where did I see that? I have to confess, I don't recall. It might be on chick.com in the book there called Who Is This Allah? If not, there are several books in our library here about the Quran. I think they even have a copy of the Quran. I would start with the book, Who Is This Allah, and see if that, sometimes you put that with the Bibles, the Quran.
Yeah, I thought this was the,
Annie.
The relation, the religion section.
Religion section, you're right, okay.
Number 200 on the Dewey system, so 220, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's in the right spot, if that's it. We should have a separate, you know, negative 220 for pagan religions, silly religions, dumb ideas, for all the evolution books here. Anyway, hereafter, I would have to confess, I don't recall where I saw that, but I think it was in the book, Who Is This Allah, by Moshe, I believe. You see that one? Paperback green one, Jonathan. Who Is This Allah?
Yeah, we sell that on our website and in the bookstores, so they can actually, Jack Chick, he usually has a lot of his material on his website for them to read.
I know, that is a tremendous website. Lord, you can spend the rest of your life on Chick's website. There we go. Anyway, sorry, I tried there first. If you don't mind, let me know if there's more space for time. Here's one from Hellbound No More. Dr. Roman, my question is, since you are on the subject of the Holy Roman Holy Church, do you know anything about a rumor that the current Pope, being an ex-Nazi, also hope to hear them say that they don't worship Mary, but they have so-called visions of Mary telling them to worship her? And it's usually a baby Jesus, not a fully grown man. How can a baby, how can they be so fooled? God bless. Boy, how about no more? I think you would want to go again to chick.com. They have good stuff on the Catholic Church. Quite a few books right on their website. There's one called Why Is Mary Crying? There's one called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Ooh, man, that is a barn burner. You read that one. Get a Catholic to read that one. There's one by Father Chinque. I just read it a couple weeks ago. I forget the title now. What's the title of that book? I got it from Chick. Father Chinque was in Moments, Illinois, and I lived just right down the road in Kankakee, Illinois, for several years. And this was maybe 150 years ago, or whatever it was, 100 years ago. During Lincoln's time, I guess, 150 years ago. When Chinque was up there in Moments, Illinois, and Chicago area, and St. Louis. Let's see, I don't recall, though, where I saw that. But anyway, there's quite a few books dealing with the Pope. I don't know, he wasn't a Nazi necessarily. He may have been. He sold cyanide gas, apparently, to the concentration camp leaders, or he was a delivery boy or something, somehow involved in supplying cyanide and Zyklon B and other gases to the Nazis. That was not used to the visual cues where it used to be, you know. I can walk up to most books and say, there it is right here. But I don't recall. You can look up Behold a Pale Horse. Milton Cooper was the author. He just was recently assassinated within the last year, I think. And who knows? If it was over that or not, might have been. Hope that helps. If you need anything else, give us a call. 850-479-DINO or Dr. Dino Live. It's our screen name. Okay, here's one from Nathan Mulder, M-U-L-D-E-R. I have a question regarding creation account of Genesis 1. As usual with the Bible, despite reading a passage before hundreds of times, this time something stuck out to me. Genesis 1:3 in the New American Standard Bible states, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God called the light day, and the darkness night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day. My question arises when you read verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, to let them be for signs and seasons, etc., etc. Okay. Nathan, thanks for writing. One of the problems is you have a New American Standard Bible, which I have sitting right here beside me on the shelf. I would strongly disagree with the translation. It's translated from the Alexandrian manuscript, not from the Textus Receptus, the majority text. So it's a very good translation of a very bad book, what amounts to. Let there be light is correct, and then later he said, let there be lights. But there's two different Hebrew words here, or and mayor, that are used. We have one word in English, light, which really means two things. I turn on the light, talking about the fixture, and it produces light, talking about the electromagnetic spectrum it produces. So we have one word describing two things, but we know which one we're talking about based on the sentence. If I say, here, hand me that light, you know I'm not asking you to hand me the light that it produces. I'm asking you to hand me the source of the light, i.e. the light bulb or the whatever flashlight. Well, Hebrew has different words for that. Different languages have different words for things. They have divided it up. They have two words. So God first created actually light, and then he created light sources later. And I cover this in more detail in video number 7 of our series. Anyway, I hope that helps. Nathan, call in if that's not sufficient. All right, Jason Simpson. I thought it was Simpson for a minute there. Jason Simpson writes in, "My friend, I love this site, and I use it as much as I can to witness to the unsaved, and hopefully help answer some believers' questions. When I saw the article below on CNN, I knew I had to hear your opinion. I cannot begin to tell an educated person that they are wrong if I know something about they speak." Let's see, I cannot begin. It's a convoluted sentence here. But I do know that God's creation is vast and beautiful. I just can't comprehend why people want to box it in. Jason Simpson, he sends a CNN article. Scientists think the universe is shaped like a soccer ball. Jonathan? The universe is shaped like a soccer ball. Who knows? How on earth? This is from CNN, the Communist News Network, London, Reuters News Service. The universe, I'm quoting here, the universe may be finite, spherical, and patched together like a soccer ball, according to U.S. and French researchers. Jeffrey Weeks, a MacArthur Fellow based in Canton, New York, blah, blah, blah. Said we're a small, closed universe. Well, thanks for writing, Jason. Don't know. Is the earth a soccer ball? Well, Jason, God's going to come kick it one of these days, clean across to wherever, you know.
Well, I say it's finite, so that answers a lot of the questions that people have. You know, is it infinite or finite?
So how could you know it is finite?
Because it's shaped like a soccer ball.
And soccer balls are finite.
Yeah.
That's logical. I think that's all the mystery, Jonathan. We could write an article for CNN.
No, but exactly. And we could patent that. And every time someone says it, they owe us a quarter. So.
What if we say it's shaped like a football instead? Case we find one place a little longer than that, we say, see, that's our theory.
Yeah, that's pretty good proof.
That's pretty good proof. Okay. Oh, boy. Or Frisbee.
We could make a lot of money.
We could make a fortune.
We could get government grants and so forth to study the football-shaped universe.
I bet we could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like the people in Illinois, across the street from St. Louis, where they built their big arch, they were feeling kind of bad about their big big arch called up people in Illinois, Bill kind of left out, so they were going to build a huge man with a cocaine mallet. Just to put this in perspective, you know, who's better, Illinois or Missouri? So moving to the football theory, I like that. Okay. Here's one from Wayne. Let's see. Wayne, no last name. Mike, hi, I appreciate your ministry very much. I enjoy listening to your pre-recorded messages when I can sit and listen all the way through. My question is, heard you say in one of your messages, do you think AIDS was made by men for the purpose of thinning the population? What makes you say that? Is it an illness that cannot occur naturally? Thanks, and may God bless. Yes, I enjoyed seeing you in Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I think it was a couple years ago. Yes, it was, what, let's see, 4 years ago now. I need to get back out there. Tell Pastor Chuck he needs to have Brother Hogan back. He is a great man and doing tremendous work for the Lord there. 14,000 people in church that morning when I spoke. You ought to see that, Jonathan. It is unbelievable. The people at my sales table selling tapes and videos and stuff were overrun.
It was 14,000.
14,000 people in one church.
Now, I went to a Promise Keepers reform. Have you ever been to one of those?
No.
They actually had about 50,000 men all in one room. Just, it's awesome. I went twice, and it was an amazing.
Did they sing?
50,000 men all singing together. Oh. Even if you sound terrible, it sounds so great.
Yeah.
50,000 voices on here. It really makes you
imagine heaven.
I know this.
A few million.
Wow.
Okay, all the bases over there. Ready? Hit it.
It's going to be great.
I'll talk with soprano. Okay. I get a lot of requests, so I normally don't sing, actually. But I get a good voice in heaven. I use my whole nut jacket speaking, I guess. Okay, as far as AIDS being created on purpose for thinning the population, I don't know that I can prove that, but I've read quite a bit of evidence that seems to point that way, that this was developed as one of the military biological weapons, which we have developed many of, and we sold a lot of stuff to Saddam. That's how they always got weapons of mass destruction. We sold them to him, you know, a long time ago. Barrels and barrels of anthrax and other kind of stuff. We sold them to him, so. But anyway, long story. There's all kinds of websites that deal with that type of stuff, Wayne. I don't. I just kind of kick the dog as I walk by, and I want to stick on creation, but because, you know, freedom and things like ability to protect yourself and gun control, they do tie directly into the creation idea that if we're created by God, we belong to God, and God makes the rules. The founding fathers of America certainly felt that way, that we have rights that come from the Creator. So I do touch on it, and I don't intend to change, by the way, for those people that think, oh, no, you might get off on the rabbit trail as well. Then go somewhere else, because I intend to get off on the rabbit trails. I'm not chasing them, actually. It's fun. I taught school 15 years, and the students always tried to get me off on rabbit trails, you know, trying to get out of their homework.
We had one of your students call in yesterday.
I know. Now he's a science teacher. I can't believe it. I thought he was the most likely to fail, or he was just so
afraid. I'm sure he loves to hear that.
He was great. But, I told people, I knew him. By the time my son was 12, I knew what he was going to be when he got out of high school. 32. Maybe 33. They made it early. They go make 25 or something. Okay. Here's one from, boy, what screen name is this? Optimus Prime 3002. Now, I have a question. What does Catholic Church get off? Where does Catholic Church give off saying that you have to go to a priest, then the priest goes to a bishop, then bishop to the Pope? My Bible says you go faith to Jesus, not through some man. But Jesus is the mediator. Thanks. Thanks for the question. John from South Carolina. John, I agree. I'm not anti-Catholic, I'm anti-error, okay? And the Catholic Church has a lot of truth in it and a lot of error in it. You know, I have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. I can agree with the Catholics that abortion is wrong. I could walk shoulder to shoulder with a parade in a parade saying, hey, abortion's wrong, you know? Now, we would differ on other issues, and I don't know that I would actually walk shoulder to shoulder with a priest because I wouldn't want to be associated with the other things that they teach that are wrong. But they are right on some things. They really are. They're wrong on many things, and so you got to separate, you know, the wheat from the chaff here. It's right versus wrong. It's not Catholic versus Baptist or something else. It's written, you know, Bible versus, it's truth versus error. Oh, I want to stay with that. So, yeah, the Catholic Church has caused themselves enormous problems by some of their doctrines, you know, teaching the priest can't marry, which is totally unscriptural, and that was silly. And obviously causes some real serious problems for them. Look around. Okay. So, yeah, I think the books on Chick's website that deal with Catholicism would be excellent for anybody wanting to study the subject more. Why is Mary crying? Is a good little short version. 50 years in the Church of Rome. Can you look and type in their site down and see what else they have on Catholicism real quick?
Yeah, I was just actually searching myself
earlier. Okay. Yeah, I'm that as a Catholic. So if you're Catholic, hey, God loves you. I love you. I'm not mad at you.
I hate to see you get duped into doing something dumb just because some priest says it. You know, what does the Bible say is how you go on this.
Okay, Katie. K-C-A-T-I-E. Find a bunch of stuff on Catholicism.
Yeah, they have a woman riding the beast and
all kinds of
crap. Billy Graham and his friends, 50 years in the Church of Rome.
That's the one I read the other day.
Is Alberto Carrillo, Messages from Heaven, the Priest, the Woman, and the Confessional.
That's a good one.
The Secret History of the Jesuits.
Ooh, I got that one.
Here, John, do you want to read that? Now, curl your hair.
That's what he's covering right now. They have Smoke Screens, The Two Babylons, and Understanding Roman Catholicism. And some of these actually have a sample chapter that you can read right online. So chicka.com, you can check those out.
Okay. Here's Katie writes in. If you take all the Christians out of school and put them in a homeschooling, who is going to witness to the other children? Boy, good question, Katie. I know it's a tough one. However, you don't send kids off to war. You raise your best flowers, your prize-winning flowers are raised in, they're protected from the elements. You don't put them out in the middle of a hurricane or along the edge of the beach or in the middle of the desert, say, or grow. You know, you put them in a greenhouse, a hothouse. I'm strongly in favor of a hothouse mentality that the best Christians come through, at least in the early stages of their life. They are protected, they are helped, they're nurtured. They're just not ready to handle the battle. And yes, Christian school, you know, private school, homeschool is, I'm very much in favor of all of those. And I'm not anti-public school, I'm anti-error. And my brother's in his 34th year teaching public school. He led me to the Lord. We get along great. They went to Hawaii together a couple years ago when I was preaching over there. He and his wife took their vacation and went with us. And had a wonderful time trying to pronounce all those Hawaiian names, you know. They only have like 8 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet or something, you know.
I read their state motto the other day.
It was the name of the state fish. The The name's about this long.
That's exactly how the motto.
The fish is this big, you know, with the name's 4 feet long, 7-inch fish. Beautiful fish, by the way. But I don't remember the name of it. But I had a 3-year-old kid come here one time from Hawaii. Came to visit us for Picture Land, and the dad says, hey, son, tell Doc Rover the name of the state fish. And the kid rattled it off.
they use less than half the letters that we use,
right.
Yet their words are twice as long and 4 times as difficult.
And they pronounce every single letter. Every letter is pronounced. So it makes it a little easy to, you know, to understand. We're over there, my brother's navigating. Yeah, I'm driving, and he's navigating. I said, how do we get to this, you know, place we're going? He says, well, turn on the street. I said, what street? He said, I don't know, it starts with a K. He said, they all start with K. whatever.
Yeah, they use predominantly vowels, right?
Well, they pronounce everything. I spoke at Ku'ulau Baptist Church. And Kana'o'i. Kana'o'ai. Kana'o'ai. Hawaii. Anyway, beautiful place. Love it. So, anyway, who's going to witness to the children? You raise flowers in a hot house, Katie, and I'm in favor of witnessing to the children, but I don't think we should send our children off to war. We should send adults off to war. And I don't know that I would be in favor necessarily of closing down the public school system. But I mentioned that in my seminar, that it's something we should consider, that everybody should go to private schools or Christian schools. And if the Muslims want to have a school, great. Teach your kids Islam, you know. Teach them to go blow yourself up, you know. By the way, it's interesting. Because of the Muslims' teachings, you know, that if they die in a jihad, you know, fighting against the infidels, they get to go to heaven and get 72 wives, you know, and you know, infinite, unlimited sex is what amounts to tempting the Mormon.
Unless that's okay.
Unless that's okay. The guy was over there in the military, in the Israeli military, when I was over there speaking. He said, some of these guys we find after they blow themselves up, he said they have certain body parts duct taped and padded when they blow themselves up. Do they think they might need them later in the next life?
Oh, my goodness.
So dumb. You're not going to need your brain up there.
They're all Christians now, though. They believe the dead ones believe what we believe now. So.
Now they believe, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not Christians, but they believe.
They are believers out of themselves.
So I would be in favor, Katie, of everybody, of schools being based on, or being based on truth, not error, evolution. But loaded with error, and our schools are full of error. So again, I'm not anti-school, I'm anti-error, so get the error out. Okay, Christy Everett, in our last couple of minutes here, we've got to hurry. And let's see, Monday, folks, I think I'm doing a debate in Missouri, so I will not be live. Jonathan, you're going to do the program or whatever. You
can't know. See, I'll do it, or we'll play it.
But then after that, I'll be. Christy Everett writes, it is ready to prove for a scientific point. course it was, probably not anymore, since we're genetically sort of inferior. But there's a lot of anecdotal evidence. The Babylonians, the Sumerians, the Greeks all have legends about what they call the Golden Age, but man used to live to be 1,000. Well, according to the Bible, nobody made it to 1,000, but several made it, you know, very close.
Very close.
999, yeah, 969. 962 was another guy, Adam, 950.
We have an article on Dr. Brown called Pre-Flood Longevities that they could read, which is more, it covers the canopy theory.
Yeah,
and all that stuff.
One of the articles on our website, drdino.com, for the articles section. Okay, Donald, Damien, has got a shorter question. Let me take Damien's, and then I have to say, now I have Mary Ann, the rest of you waiting out there. Vicky, I'll be with you next time, Tuesday. Okay, here's one from Damien, who writes in, were dinosaurs violent as portrayed in the movie Jurassic Park? If so, how did men survive living with beasts? Okay, Damien, I don't think they were violent. I think the Bible says everything was vegetarian, actually. Genesis 1, 28, 29, 30, read those verses in there. But if our time is about up, if you're listening today, and you're not sure you're a Christian, if you're not, haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, why not? God loves you. He wants to forgive you and save you. Give your heart to Jesus for heaven's sake. That's something you can actually do for heaven's sake. Lord loves you. He hates your sin. He's going to go straight to hell if you haven't trusted Christ. And it's not because you're not good enough. You're just a sinner. Okay, you're not good enough. Call us next week, folks. Dr. Lambert.com. See you next time. Thanks a lot.